on this episode of The Commercial Break.
Now would be a good time to mention that Brian and Chrissy have absolutely no backup plan. If they don't stay on schedule, you'll be a nervous wreck, stressing out about the fate of this insanely meaningless stunt. Well, a girl can dream, can't I? Let us pray for some kind of meltdown today so things will stay interesting. But as of now, I guess we're still on track. The third episode of TCB's Endless Day starts now.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break's Endless Day. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chris and Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Got a little pep in our step, moving right along on TCB's Endless Day.
Second one.
Super excited. Number two. Well, number three, actually.
Number three. That's right.
Let's get it right. It's number three, but it's number two that we're recording today. Let's put it that way. So here we are, Saturday, May 31st. Thanks for joining us. Some people already texting in that they're patiently awaiting episodes to come out.
Okay.
We're doing it. We're a little late on the first one, but I think we're back on track, Chrissy. I'm not too worried about it right now. Season number two of The Commercial Break was a very funny and lighthearted season of The Commercial Break. Still, I think we're mainly doing one episode a week. We get into two later half of the season. We find Teresa Caputo.
Yep.
We dig in our heels on Frankie B.
Frankie.
Yes.
That was the premiere.
Oh, that was our... actually, Frankie B came in...
He was the first.
He's season one.
Season one.
Frankie B is season one. We'll get to Frankie B later on, by the way. But Frankie B is season one. Teresa Caputo comes along. Mountain Monsters come along.
Paw Paw Popper.
Hold on one second. I reloaded that. Hold on.
I know.
It's awesome. Look at it. Paw Paw Popper. It's Skinny John Popper. The Mountain Monsters had an episode where they were chasing a Paw Paw Popper, like a Paw Popper or something like that.
Yeah.
And we were like, is that Skinny John Popper? What's going on there? Still skinny, by the way, John Popper.
Yeah.
I saw him playing at a festival somewhere. They had like a live something they were doing. I think it was...
I thought they were playing somewhere.
Maybe it was...
Like Minneapolis?
No, it was in London. They were playing that Big Day or, I don't know, something BBC something.
Brian got it wrong.
Yeah. Well, Brian got it wrong. Oh, you know I'm getting it wrong. I'm getting it wrong all day long. people are writing in saying those songs are driving them crazy. They're running around the house.
I know.
Them.
Well, they are catchy.
I know. I put the Best to You song in yet on Friday, and it was like, Best to You. What is it? Hold on. I'll play it for you. Why not? We got hours to kill.
Yes,
why not?
Best to You. Best to You. Best to You.
I can't help but do a little dance. Playing the Casio keyboard.
Oh, such a good one. That's a good one. So I'm watching John Popper, Skinny John Popper, and he is still got that very high falsetto voice. He can get there still to
Great.
This day. Good for him. Even without all the extra air. I like my John Popper, 1990s
Popper.
Yeah, because he's just a jolly old guy. But man, have they changed every single member of that band except for John Popper.
Oh, they
I mean,
have.
He's the only guy left. Mm. Yeah. The guitarist is gone. The drummer is gone. The bassist is gone. I think they all look different. And every couple of years, they all look different. So I think he's just kind of rotates them in and out. Blues Traveler, the other members of the band travel in and out of the money train that is Blues Traveler. And John Popper gets to keep all the cash. But he probably wrote all the songs because, you know,
probably.
He's a very talented musician. Mm-hmm. Anyway, season number two. We did a lot of stuff in season number two. Speaking of music. Well, let me tell a little story here first. I was watching John Popper and on whatever this was live. And then on came the band Haim.
All right.
You know who Haim
like
is?
Haim. Yeah.
The three sisters. Mm-hmm. The Haim sisters. They just finished a long stretch with Taylor Swift. And so Astrid and I, 2023. 2023? Yeah, 2023. when the commercial break was making money or being paid money. Yes. Let's put it that way. When the commercial break was being paid money,
the day
we got gifted tickets to go see Taylor Swift in LA in like the fourth row. It was amazeballs. We were right there, right behind the celebrity tent every single. And Esther and I thought about this afterwards. Taylor Swift did something really smart. She put a tent right, like, I don't know, maybe 10 rows over to the side of the stage. It was one of those stages that just goes out into the crowd. And to the right and to the left on each side, there were these tents that she would put up. And those tents were VIP tents. I don't know where they were covered. It was an indoor stadium, but whatever. Okay, all right, whatever. And then they would have a bar and get served food and all this other stuff. And she would invite her celebrity friends, and the celebrity friends would sit in those tents. That was part of the allure, I think, for being in the stadium, was that you were also going to be around celebrities.
Well, that's true.
They were going to be in the crowd with you. I didn't think about it until a year later. And then I was like, that was a really smart move on Taylor's part. Put together a little party on each side of the stage, invite your celebrity friends to come each place you go. And then people want to be in the stadium because they know they're not just going to see Taylor. They're going to see whoever.
The sightings of whoever.
Who's that girl? Ryan Reynolds' girlfriend that everybody
Blake
hates?
Blake Lively.
Wow. What a nightmare that is. Anyway, don't want to get sidetracked here. So Astrid and I have these wonderful seats to the show. You can see Taylor, like the whites of her eyes. She's like looking at you when she's singing. It's that close. I can't hear a fucking thing because everybody is screaming around me at decibels I've never heard before. I'm talking like it made your brain shake kind of loud. Like you were next to a 747. It was unbelievable. So I'm doing my best to get along with all the girls in the crowd.
Yeah.
And I'm having a good time. And it's Taylor Swift. So, you know, she's pretty. The songs are boppy.
She puts on a great
show. Show moves along. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a good show. I liked it. I give it a 7.9 or 8.1. 7.9 to 8.1 out of 10. But halfway through, I got to go pee. I'm down on the floor at the LA, whatever the fuck it is. And it's her last show, by the way. And so...
For that leg of the tour, right?
Yeah. Her last American show, her last U.S. tour show. So, you know, Disney's filming it or whatever they're doing. I don't know. So I have to go to the bathroom, and I don't know where to go to the bathroom because we're actually on the floor. And so it's not like you can just go up the stairs like you normally would and go to find the public restroom. I'm on the floor, and the way we got into the stadium, we had to go like through the bottom of, you know, the players' locker room or whatever. So we had, so I just go to the first door I see, and I ask the security guard, where's the restroom? And the security guard says, go through here, right this way. Okay, great. So I go through, and then all of a sudden I end up in a, like a green room. Like a bar area. Did I tell you this?
No, but this is a theme with you.
Yeah.
Moon taxi.
I ended up in the, yeah, like the moon taxi, weird. All of a sudden, I'm in the green room of something. I don't know where I am. And I don't know where the restrooms are. So there's a bunch of people sitting, they're drinking. It's a bar. It's a posh bar. There's a bunch of TVs in there. Everyone's watching Taylor, having a good time. It's very LA-ish. The whole crowd is very, all the girls are dolled up. All the guys are slicked back. You know, there's a lot of money in this room. You can tell. And now I'm completely lost. There's a lot of money in the room, except Brian walked in and reduced the average balance of everyone's bank account by $100,000.
Yes.
Yes. My Platinum American Express expired 3 years ago, but I still carry it just in case I want to whip it out and then go, oh, no, I don't want to use that one. I want to use my
Diners Club.
My Merrick Bank prepaid credit card. I don't want to burn out the Amex. Let me use do you take MasterCard prepaid Walmart?
Do you take MasterCard minus?
Yes. Do you take MasterCard plus minus? You take MasterCard 500? That's my credit score.
And limit.
Yes. And limit. Because I paid it to MasterCard to make it my limit. It's prepaid. It's helping my credit score go to 550. So here I am in the middle of this room, like dumped out into the middle of this room. And I'm like, I turn to the left and there is a lady that's standing there. And I go, I'm sorry. Do you know where the bathroom? Do you know where the restroom is? And she's like kind of gives me this look. And she goes, come this way. And I'm like, okay. So I'm following her. And then all of a sudden, standing there in the middle of the hallway are three girls. And instantaneously, because they had just gotten off stage, I recognize it as Haim.
Oh,
and I'm
right.
Like, oh, hey.
Oh, hey, Haim.
Hey, Haim. You guys, you girls, did a great job. That was one of the better, I just said, you know, that was one of the better opening acts I've ever seen. That was great. You have so much energy. And they were like, oh, thanks. Thanks so much. Thank you very much. And then I'm just standing there because the girl has now gone down some hall, some extra hallway that I don't know. The girl I was following is now gone.
Oh,
and I'm like, sorry to bother. Do you know where the restrooms are?
You're asking
yeah.
Haim.
And like Haim's manager is, it's like four of them. Like, there's like a manager standing there who's like, we're going to go here and we're going to do this. You know, she's like giving them the scoop on whatever there's next. And then one of the Haim girls goes, I think, can you take him to the bathroom? And now Haim's manager is taking me to the restroom. So now I'm walking down the guts of the LA Coliseum or whatever it is.
The Forum?
Not the Forum.
Oh, okay.
Where the, I don't know, the Rams or the whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
The Chargers. Who fucking cares? And SoFi Stadium. Excuse me. That's what it was.
SoFi. Yeah, that's right.
So I'm walking and I go to the bathroom. I use like this private bathroom. So I go to this private bathroom. I use it. And then I open the door. And for the life of me, cannot remember which way I came in because I was like, no,
yeah.
I just saw Haim. So I'm all confused. Now I'm in the back of some green room, guts, I'm backstage. I don't know what's going on. And so I take a left and I'm supposed to take a right. I take a left. I open the door because there's like, you know, three hallways and you can go through a door in each one. And so I just go to the left and I open the door. And there I am in this huge garage area. And all of the Taylor Swift people with their headset,
stuff.
The buses, everybody standing there.
The crew.
But no one is standing there to tell Brian Greene, who has no pass whatsoever, that you, in fact, cannot be back here.
Yeah.
I am now back under the guts of the SoFi Stadium with all of the crew, her buses, her trailers, her everything. And I'm like, wow, cool. And in the corner, there is a merch table. And that merch table, they are packing up merch. I can see them packing up T-shirts and stuff like this. Well,
okay.
If you tried to get into a merch table outside of the garage of the SoFi Stadium, it was an hour and a half wait. It was line after line after line. Everyone was waiting in line for days to get Taylor Swift
that
merch.
At the show?
Yes.
Yeah.
To which Astrid was very disappointed because she wanted something, but you know, we were being reasonable with ourselves.
Right. Like,
we're not going to wait for three. We'd rather see the show.
Yes, exactly.
We can buy a T-shirt online. But now I'm back here and I'm like, oh, I wonder if I could go up and there's nobody there, by the way. Nobody. And people are packing stuff in these very beautiful bags. I can just see them packing stuff. But it's a merch table, clearly. So I walk up and I say, hey, can I buy something? And the girl, there's like two girls back there and one girl's got a headset on. And the one girl looks at the other girl with the headset on and she's like, can you buy something? And then the girl's like, shh, can you borrow something? Can a guy who had to go to pee, can he buy something? Yeah. No, he doesn't look threatening. His credit score is 500.
I'm surprised the alarm didn't go off.
We've got a loser.
Yeah.
We've got a loser. He looks like he's down on his luck. Can he buy something? Yeah, go ahead. Let him buy something. Charge him double. 10-4.
So the lady's like, sure, you know? And okay. And so I'm texting Astrid furiously.
Right.
What do you want?
Yeah.
Taking pictures. What do you want? You know, hurry up. Meanwhile, this girl's like, you know, da-da-da-da. And while I'm waiting for Astrid to respond, I can see that they're putting names on the tags.
Yeah, it's like the celebrity
gift bags. It's the celebrity gift bags. Uh-huh. They're packing up celebrity gift bags. And so I go, oh, are you like packing up celebrity gift bags? Like, you know, stuff for celebrities and stuff. She goes, yeah, we'd make these little gift bags that, you know, we give to some of the friends and some of the people that show up. And I was like, oh, cool. Do you have my name on one of those?
Right.
She, not a bit of irony in her face. She goes, no. No. Okay. I just saw Haim. Haim
right.
knows me.
Right.
Well, then tell Haim to come here and get you a bag. So finally, you know, Astrid doesn't respond. So I'm like, let me get a shirt in medium, like this shirt
right,
in medium.
Just
I'm just going to guess. Right. And then she's like, okay. And then she has to run around finding a charge card machine. And finally she finds one and I swipe it and I go and I grab the shirt and I manage to find my way back.
You were the hero.
And I was the hero for the night. I said, hey, Astrid, she didn't like the T-shirt, but you know, at least I bought her one.
Right.
So whatever. And then the night goes on and the whole thing. And, it just was unbelievable that I managed to get past all of Taylor Swift's security to get back to her buses or whatever in
I'm
the
not
garage.
Surprised.
I was not. It doesn't surprise me either. I'm an idiot like that. I stumble my way into situations and then I just look friendly, I guess, yeah. Or I can talk. So people just kind of go, whatever. He's not going to shoot up the place. That's clear. Look at that guy's belly. He's not shooting up anything. That guy never spent a day in his life in the military. Season number two, speaking of music, season number two also came with all the accoutrements that you would expect, including Brian telling the world that something I hadn't mentioned in a decade.
You revealed it to me even.
I revealed it to Chrissy. Mm-hmm. She had known me for almost 15 years at mm-hmm. that point and had never known that I wasn't in one band. I was in two bands as a singer of those bands. One of them was named 33 Willie. It was a high school band. All of them have phallic names, by the way.
Yes, which I promptly named 33 Penis.
Yes,
and that became 33P.
33P. There you go. So if you hear us talking about 33P, that's what it is. My high school band. My high school band and I, just a collection of a couple of guys that knew relatively how to play instruments. One really talented guitarist and bassist named Dan. One pretty damn good drummer named Mike. A bassist who left us after the first practice, and then we had to get a kid. We were like juniors in high school. Mm-hmm. We had to get a kid that was like in eighth grade to play the bass for our live show. So it's rather embarrassing. We had like a kid playing bass. And then
wait, is this also when you were taking saxophone lessons?
Oh, I was a saxophonist.
Yeah.
I was a saxophonist. Mm-hmm. I was a sexyphonist. Yes, I was, Chrissy. I was in the band in high school and I played saxophone. But I wasn't good. I wasn't good.
You didn't play it in this band.
No. I decided not to break out the saxophone for my grunge rock band. My very much wanted to be Pearl Jam, Alice in Chains. You know, we were all trying to emulate the thing that was popular back then. There was no originality to it whatsoever. We were just trying to be like, quote unquote, whoever. I mean, you know, we tried our best, but mm-hmm. it was clear that we were just mimicking what we were hearing. And we were also kids, 16, 17 years old.
Well, to be fair, in defense of you guys, so were many other bands doing that.
Band. Some bands got famous emulating other bands.
Exactly.
Creed, Stone Temple Pilots, mm-hmm. everybody else. You know, they all emulated the first two that came out, which are the first three or four. Nirvana, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, Pearl Jam. That's it. Mm-hmm. Those four were the big four. And I mean, there were others in the more like indie scene, like Nine Inch Nails and the Pixies and you know, White Zombie, whatever you want to.
Right.
We can go down the list.
But that sound.
That
though.
Sound. Mm-hmm. That Seattle grunge rock sound. And we were trying to be the next Seattle grunge rock band from Cobb County, Georgia.
Yeah, I was a guy right outside of Atlanta.
Yeah, right outside of Atlanta. And we were practicing in this guy's dad was a guitarist. That's what he did. He was like a session musician.
Oh, okay.
He played in bands on the weekends to make money, mm-hmm. and he worked at a music studio or something. So we really had a soft place to fall. They allowed us to use their attic, their like finished attic, as our practice space.
Yeah.
And the dad gave me my first Stratocaster. He gave me a red pearl inlay Stratocaster, and he charged me like $150 for it. And I could pay him like, you know, $10 every time.
That was nice.
It was incredible. And so I had this Strat, barely knew how to play, barely knew how to sing. But here I was with a book full of lyrics that were terrible, terrible. Also, it's the 90s. Everybody's in angst.
Right.
Everybody hates being everybody. Everything is awful. No, if we only knew, could we just go back to that time? Mm-hmm. Could we just go back to that time when the worst thing possible happening was puberty and not everything else in the world? But anyway, that band, 33P, played a show that I revealed on episode number 43, 23, whatever it was of the commercial break. Played a couple of live shows, but our very first live show, we got invited to play a party. A friend of a friend of a friend, his parents were out of town, and he was going to have a party at noon in the afternoon because he didn't want to rile up his neighbors, and his parents were going to be back early the next morning. Party started at noon. Keg of beer was going to be there. Hundreds of people were going to show up. House party. Old school house party.
Good old house party.
Could we play or could you play? I forgot how it goes because it was a friend of a friend. I wasn't involved in that conversation. All I knew is we were going to go show up, bring our equipment.
It was your first gig.
It was our very first gig. And I was sweating profusely for 3 days ahead of time because it was fun to play in the attic when right. It was just us. But if there was going to be some other eyeballs on us, I mean, I would get a panic attack when Dan's dad would come up and listen to
yeah.
us. Which was not often because he knew about how bad we were. But now we're going to play in front of actual strangers in a house party. And in my head, for days ahead of time, this is going to be hundreds of people
right.
standing around.
Like you'd see in the movies.
Like, yeah. Yeah right. Like old school.
Right.
There's going to be 1,000 people in the backyard, and I'm going to be playing on the stage, right? Snoop Doggy Dog. We get there, and there may be 6 people milling about. And 3 of them are related. You know what I'm saying? It's like the yeah. brothers of the house or whatever. Nobody. No females. All guys. No keg of beer. There's like some, you know, Zima in the refrigerator.
The Zima.
Oh, the old Zima. There's some Zima in the refrigerator and maybe a case of Natty Ice. I forget. It was not what we expected at all. There was no stage. We couldn't play in the backyard because the guy didn't want his neighbors to find out that there right. was a party. So we had to play inside. Where could we play? Wherever you guys want to. So we scope out the family room, fireplace in the background, furniture, coffee tables, everything in the middle, and we spend the next hour moving the furniture out of the room so that we can set up our shit.
Nice.
And we set up our shit, and we play 10 songs, 9 songs, and it was recorded for posterity's sake, and I think it's the only thing that lives and breathes besides a videotape. Of our first live show at a club, like at an actual venue.
Okay.
But I don't have access to that. Mike Skirsky, I want that. He told me he would get it to me. I haven't seen it, but he did give me this. He had this. He gave me this. We played some of this 696 episodes yeah. ago. We played some of this. I, Chrissy, went and remastered it to clean it up a little bit, mm-hmm. a little bit. It's still very muddy. It's an old tape recorder. It's like, back before any yeah. of this technology existed, you just press record on an old tape recorder mm-hmm. and put it, you know, in front of you and hope that it caught anything. It caught some of it. But I was able to use some technology to master it and to pull out the stems, the vocals, the drums, the guitar, turn it into.
Look at what you've done.
So to take myself to a further level of embarrassment, I have now remastered the 33P live from Shady Oaks party. Oh, and by the way, by the time we started playing a couple hours after we got there, there was maybe 40 people there. There was 30 of those people in the room when we started. There was 2 by the time the first song was over. Everybody left. Everyone. No one had any interest in hearing what we had to play. So in some sense, it made me more comfortable because at least
true.
Now it was familiar territory.
Yeah.
No one watching us. But in another sense, it was a sad day when we all got done because I was like, wow. We're either really bad or people just we're really bad. There's no other option.
Yeah.
We're really bad or we're really bad. There's no other option. But I have that remastered tape, Chrissy, believe it or not. And I'd like to play it for you because we have lots of time to kill. And because I'm a glutton for punishment. What do you say?
I say we listen to it.
We're going to take a short break. All of this is brought to you with limited commercial interruptions by our great sponsor, 5-Hour Energy, sponsoring the entire Endless Day. You're only going to hear one commercial in the middle of every episode because of 5-Hour Energy. So thank them. 988 is the number that you dial if you or anyone you know is in mental health crisis or you desperately need some help with your mental health. 988. You can text or you can call English or Spanish and get the help that you need, regardless of the resources you have available financially. So we're doing this to celebrate 5 years. We're doing this because 5-Hour Energy is awesome. We're doing this because we love you. And then we're also doing this to remind you that mental health is as, if not more important than any other health you check up. You probably take care of your body. You probably take, you know, weight, train, run, exercise, not me, but you. You probably do all of that stuff. You eat right or try to eat right. Emotionally and mentally is where things can really come off the tracks and get bad. 988. Dial it if you need to. Don't go through it alone. Call a friend. Call a family. Call your mama. Call your papa. Call TCB. Call somebody. Don't go through it alone. The grass is always greener on the other side. I promise you'll live to fight another day as long as you live to fight another day. All right. We'll take a break and we'll be back.
All right, all right, all right, cats and kittens. You're in the middle of another episode during TCB's Endless Day. Make sure you're following us at The Commercial Break on Instagram for more information on all of today's events and maybe even a live streaming recording. Wouldn't that be a miracle? You know, now would be a really good time to call in and give Brian and Chrissy some moral support. They've been at this for like, what, 6 million hours? 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Be sure to catch all these episodes a second time on video at youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. And get your free exclusive Endless Day sticker by visiting tcbpodcast.com and dropping us a line on the Contact Us button. Okay, I'm going to go, or I'll run the risk of being the second person on this podcast to talk way too much. Looking right at you, Brian. Best to you.
I like the music underneath the liner with Rachel.
I do too.
Yeah, it's so much better than anything we're about to hear. All right.
The stock music.
The stock music is so much better than anything I ever created. Those people are talented.
They are.
Yeah, those stock, like the guys and girls who make the music that we use, it's like a subscription service and then you can, you know, you're licensed to use it essentially. Some of them are really talented. They do a really good job. Not us. Okay, so 33P. I don't know. Let me guess the year. No, I don't want to guess the year because then you know how old I am. It's the 90s at some point, mm-hmm. right? I'm a teenager, 16, 17 years old. I'm the singer and the lead guitarist for 33P and live from Shady Oaks.
And was this with the eighth grader on bass?
I think the eighth. I know. I think the guy who originally played bass with us actually played bass in the band. If I'm not mistaken, it might have been Dan's brother that did the, I don't know. I can't remember. I don't remember the bass. You know, everybody, like, you know, like Spinal Tap, the drummer comes in and out. Yeah. We had the same problem with the bassist. Like, yeah. You know, they would die or explode on stage or something like that. They didn't show up. They had a bad drug problem. I don't know. We always had a problem with the bassist. But then again, we were only together for like 6 months. We're not talking about a long stretch of time. I mean, I think it was clear to everybody that this was not, we were not going to be the next breakout hit. Back in the 90s, there was a band. What was that band? You're gonna wait too, fat boy,
oh, yeah.
Wait till tomorrow.
Right, right, right.
Do you remember that band? Uh-huh. Australian band. They were kids, like 13 years old, and they had an album that went nuts off this song called Fat Boy. Like, you're gonna wait too, fat boy. Text in, 212-433-3TCB, or I'll Google it later. But they went crazy. And when that, I think this is like right around the same time when they came out. And so everybody imagined that we would just be found and discovered
that they could do it
at
too.
16 mm-hmm. years old. But, you know, you actually have to be good to do that. So, like, those guys had, it wasn't the best music in the world, but it was catchy. It was a catchy tune. All right, where do we start here? I think Sunny Side Up is where we start.
Oh, well, that's one of my faves.
This is muddy. It's a little bassy. So turn down your volume a little bit, maybe. This is Sunny Side Up, a song that I wrote. I wrote it all. I wrote the music. I wrote the lyrics. And that is not a compliment to myself. I'm just trying to save the other guys from embarrassment.
Right. Put all the blame on yourself.
That's right. I'm putting all the blame on myself. Dan, Mike, you guys can hide in the closet on this one. On all of them, really. It's all my idea. It was all my idea. All right. Here we go. Sunny Side Up, live from the Shady Oaks Retirement Center. Here we go. Gotta love it.
What a way to kick off the noon hour on a Saturday.
I know. This is like... What a way to get your party started.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, it's the good part's coming up after this episode.
Oh, yeah, you can hear the angst.
Yeah.
Sunny Side Up!
Sunny Side Up! Don't worry about it. What am I doing? This is embarrassing. How terrible is this?
I mean, hey, it doesn't sound too bad for a high school band.
For a high school band.
Yeah.
It's not the worst thing I've ever heard.
Right.
I was listening to this yesterday, and I was like, well, it could have been a lot worse.
It could have.
We could have not known how to play the instruments at all, which I think is some of the music that's popular now. We should run them across the floor. I think I heard someone go, yeah!
I did too.
I think it was our drummer.
Bam! That's right, kick it. Kick into it.
Yes, that's right.
What did Sunny Side Up mean?
I have no idea.
Okay. Fair enough.
I really have no idea. I honestly have no clue what I was singing about. I tried to pull out the lyrics with like a AI software program, but again, AI foiled me. Yeah, it broke. Well, it came up with some of the lyrics, but it's so muddy that it can't like distinguish it. The truth is that I think Sunny Side Up had something to do with being on drugs.
Okay. Maybe it was left over. Maybe you were thinking of that commercial that they used to run back in the 90s with the, this is your brain on
drugs,
and it was an egg.
You might be right, because I do talk about drugs, you know, all fucked up, taking the drugs I'm, like the drugs I'm taking, the things I'm baking, whatever, Sunny Side Up. I also think it may have been something that we used to say to each other after a long night of like tripping or smoking weed. Like, oh, Jesus, I'm Sunny Side Up, you know, like,
okay, yeah.
I'm toast, I'm fried. Essentially. Right. So it was my, you know, satirical way of letting you know that I was all fucked up. Little did I know that 20 short years later, I just let everybody know how many drugs I was taking. I just go ahead and say it out loud. So there you go. I think that was our first song that we played for the night. But let's cut right to the chase,
Chrissy.
Day. For the day. For the morning. That was our first... That's our first morning song.
Well, Sunny Side Up.
Sunny Side Up. There you go. Getting everybody go. And hey, listen, I did hear one person go, yeah! Yeah!
It was your fan.
We had this good friend named Bob, who's, you know, still friendly with all of us today. I saw him at my brother's engagement party.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. And he's kind of like, oh, I saw Mike. I saw Dan about a year and a half ago.
Oh,
I see these guys still.
Okay.
I still see them. And we still reminisce, you know. And Mike swears it's good. He's like, that show that we did at the Rec Room, which was the actual club, he's like, it's good, man. You were good. It's good. And I'm like, yeah, I think that's nice of you to say, but I'm not convinced at all that any of this is good. Listen to my... I'm not even singing. I'm mumbling. It's like mumble rap.
You were figuring things out.
I was. And how could I do that to my voice? You hear it? That sounds so bad. So I still see them. So, you know, I saw this guy, Bob, who was like, he wasn't in the band, but he was like in our circle of friends, and he was always with us and hanging out. He, you know, I guess you could call him a supporter of the band, mainly because he hung out with us, not because he liked the music. But he also sometimes listens to the commercial break, though I think thinks it's pretty terrible. I think that's his general opinion. This is not his flavor of podcasting. He's more of the Joe Rogan type guy. But he did love that we had Ari Shaffir on. He loved that. He thought that was the greatest thing in the world. So I was talking to Bob, and, you know, Bob was saying he thinks he remembers being at this show. At the Sunny Side Up show. So I think when you hear someone screaming in the background, I think it's Bob, because Bob got free Zima.
Thanks, and, Bob.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. I think Bob got free Zima, and I think that's why Bob was screaming, yeah. Yeah, free Zima! All right, but as we get further into the show, I decide that we really need to bring the crowd back into it. You know, we don't want to lose the crowd that we've already lost. We want to try and bring them back into it. So if I remember this correctly, there was like a short intermission in the 10 songs that we played. We had to take an intermission. I think
two?
Just so we could figure out if we could get anybody else to come back in right. and listen to us. And we let people know that we were going to play some cover tunes. Now, I can only find one cover tune that we actually played. It's probably the only one we actually knew how to play. And that was Killing in the Name of by Rage Against the Machine, which was all the rage back then. Still is Rage Against the Machine. That's one of the greatest bands ever. And their political messaging is always on point. They are smart. This is smart rock and roll. And they went at the man at every turn. And it was rage, rage, rage in some of the most incredible music you've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
Brian found a way to fuck it all up. I couldn't even get it right. All I had to do was just emulate Zach De La Roque.
Yeah.
That's all I had to do. But instead, I decided to put my own spin on Killing in the Name of. A little more melodic, if you will, Chrissy. Because that's what Killing in the Name of needs, is a little bit more melody.
Let me show you how it should have been done.
Put in some trills in there, yeah. Killing in the name of. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Killing in the name of. So not only do I have the song, we'll listen to that. But then I have the vocals pulled out, too, so we can hear.
Oh, perfect.
So all the world can hear my musical stylings.
Killing you have them, the name of. You have them separated out.
I have them separated.
Okay.
Okay. Let's listen to the whole song first. I want you to get it. I'm going to give you a little tasty Tina. Get your bearings about where we're at in this adventure. Here we go. I think you all know it. Yeah. I think both of you know it. Oh, there's some people in the background.
There are. Well, that bass sounded good.
Yeah, because I'm not playing it.
Are you getting the feeling?
Yep.
Yes.
I'm getting all those feelings are coming rushing back to me now. I'm a kid again, Chrissy.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that sounds good.
Yeah, because I'm not playing.
Right.
Oh, I forgot to mention, I'm not playing guitar here.
Oh, okay.
Not the same that burn across the hill. Some of those that want to force the hill. Some of those that want to force it. Not the same that burn across. Do, 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 do. Yeah, come on! I'm harmonizing Killing in the Name of.
Now they do what they told you.
Now you do what they told you. Do you do what they told you? You fucker do what they told you. Ooh, go, Brian. Get nasty. Okay, now. Okay, sounds good, right? Sounds great. Sounds like a terrible cover to cover of Killing in the Name of. But let's pull out just the vocals first. Why am I doing this to myself?
I don't know.
I'm putting this out there. It's never going to be retracted.
Entertained.
All right, here we go. It's going to take a minute. Like, because you have to go through the whole song. So let's wait a second as it goes through it. I don't have a way to like.
It's a great song. I know you all know it.
Oh. It's a great song. I think y'all know it. Oh, and it sounds a little weird because it's pulling it out of a live feed.
Try and get up, bitches.
Try and get up, bitches.
Oh, you were hard.
Ooh, yeah. I had the chain around my wallet.
Oh, that's right, Andrew Doc Martens.
Oh, yeah, Chrissy. No fucking around here. Mm-mm. I went for it.
Bitches.
In for a penny, in for a pound. This is so terrible. So terrible. Okay, it's coming up here. I think it. Wait, where'd it go? It's so fussy, but I think there's a part coming up here. Killing in the name of.
Some of those that want bosses. Some of those that want bosses.
Oh, you're getting into it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Yeah, come on. Come on, bitches. Bitches. Who am I calling bitches? I can guarantee there were no females in the crowd. Killing in the name of was not their thing.
You suckers do what they told ya.
You suckers do what they told
ya. You suckers do what they told ya. You fuckers do what they told ya. You let them do what they tell ya.
I'm changing the lyrics. Zach didn't get it right the first time.
Right. This is how it should be done.
That's right. Brian got it. I knew what I told you. I knew what I told you. That's Bob in the background.
Yeah.
I'm hammered.
I'm about to see us. Well, to be fair, noon drinking.
Yeah, noon drinking. It'll get you.
It'll
get you. All right, one more here. One more embarrassment. This song is, for some unknown reason, is called Slide. Why don't you slide? Dun, 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 I wish it was a cover tune of whatever that band is.
Yeah.
What is that? Why don't you slide?
I know.
Who are those guys? They had like 1,000
hits. The Goo Goo Dolls?
That's the Goo Goo Dolls.
Yeah.
The Goo Goo Dolls. Punk rock band in the 80s. Big hair in the 90s. They had a lot of hits, I think.
They did.
Oh, no, that's not the one I wanted to play. Hold on. This is called B-I-L-T-H. Why, I don't know.
B-I-L-T-H.
Yes.
Bilf?
Something. Bilf. Yes.
Sounds like there's some people in the background.
Yeah,
you pulled him back in.
Yeah, I think you had to go through the...
Get in here, bitches!
Get in here, bitches! You fuckers! I think you had to go through the family room to get to the refrigerator.
I had to get to the kitchen where the beer was.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm not kidding you either. I think you did. Oh, yeah, it's all coming back to me now.
I bet it is.
Three chords. Three chords. We know three chords. Here are those three chords. I love it. It just... Hey. Oh, I'm sitting on my porch, apparently. I think this is a love song, Chrissy.
Yeah, she smiles at me. Oh, yeah.
I know these three chords.
I wish she knew my name.
Yeah, I wish she knew my name. It's a love song. Doesn't this sound like a love song?
Yeah.
I think I'm singing, but it's so incredibly loud. Smartly, we turned the music up. We turned the guitars up so loud that you couldn't hear me sing. That was a smart decision on our part. See, we weren't all stupid. If you could go back to your childhood and record your most embarrassing moments, I would like to hear those too. Now, listen, it's 2025. Everybody's most
recording
embarrassing
everything.
Moments gets their
yeah.
most. Yeah, that's like, that's my fear, is that I crash out in public somewhere. You know, they call it a crash out. I crash out in public somewhere, and it's all recorded. And then the guy from the commercial break, the show that no one knows but is going to know for all the wrong reasons,
right.
had some terrible crash out. Seriously.
Well, we've got a PR agency. They'll fix it.
Yeah. I'm not sure we do have a PR agency after today. After that? I'm not sure we do have a PR agency. They have a reputation to uphold.
They do.
We are their least. This PR agency, just to let you know, Covert Creative, one of the best in the business. They handle some of the biggest people in the world. They are having mercy sex with us by getting into a contract. This is a mercy fuck, okay? Let's just be honest about it.
Yeah.
They have decided, well... This is like, have you ever seen Trading Places where they say, I bet we can get Eddie Murphy to be the guy, to be the CEO of this company. Any schmuck off the street could do it. Mm-hmm. And poor fucking Dan Aykroyd has sex with a hooker and loses his access to his butler and shit like that. I bet there's a deal going on at Covert. And they say, I bet you that we can take any schmuck and make him famous. We have to find the schmuckiest schmuck out there. Brian Greene. There he is. That commercial break. That's it. If we can do it with him.
It's an experiment.
It's an experiment. It's an experiment. Let's see. Smartless, the commercial break. Those are the two that are on our roster. They won't put us on their website, but I love them nonetheless. They are great, oh, actually. Yeah. They
won't put us on their website. No.
That's not going on any materials anytime soon. Yeah. Proudly representing the guy who murdered killing in the name of guy who wrote Sunny Side Up. Congratulations. We've reached the zenith of PR. What did Brian do? What? No. We're not that kind of PR agency. We don't want to. Hey, listen. It's not that your payment bounced. It's that we sent it back. And I'm sorry. I looked everywhere in my email. I don't see that signed contract. Whoops. Block his email. Block his email. Yeah, our address, SoFi Stadium, Los Angeles, California. Send it there. I'll make sure we get it. Sign it and send it back. And speaking of Covert, Covert's been wonderful. Covert Creative, CTB, Bella, Antoine. I mean, really, Bella and Antoine and Joanna are great supporters of ours, too. But Bella is the person who books this show. All of the celebrities that you're hearing today were booked directly by Bella. In other words, she begged them to come on the show.
She spun us in a really favorable light.
They also won't put us on their website, but hey. No, right. Actually, we are on their website. But she spun us in a really favorable way because that's what she does. She's so good at it. And thanks to all the guests who are showing up today, Reggie, Tig Notaro, Tom Papa, Rachel Bloom, and Michael Ian Black. I love you guys. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this. You didn't have to. You probably won't ever again, but thank you so much. All right, so there you go, Chrissy. Oh, wait, that's not it.
Oh.
What was that? Well, listen.
You're flustered after playing your music.
Yeah, I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to decide whether or not I want to edit it all. Edit all that out. This episode was 5 minutes long. You're killing in the name of.
Oh.
Get up, you bitches. Get up, you bitches. What am I thinking?
Elijah confidence.
Yeah.
Fake it till you make it kind of thing.
That's all that Zima in me.
Yeah. The day drinking.
I didn't even drink back then. I'm sure that I was up till 5 in the morning the night before, high on something. But I didn't drink back then, so there you go. At least I wasn't drunk. All right, episode number 3 in the books. Thank you very much. More coming at you. By my count, 30 more to go.
Right.
We're almost a quarter of the way through. 212-433-3TCB, 212-433-3TCB. Between 3 and 5 Eastern Standard Time, if you want to call in, we'll leave the phone on the desk. Maybe we'll answer. Maybe we won't. I think we are going to go live later on this afternoon. Make sure you're following us at The Commercial Break on Instagram. We'll give all of those details to you when the time comes. It's not... Just understand, this is not live. When you're not listening to us live, we're recording this an hour ahead of time so that we can edit it and get it out the door. The guest episodes, they were recorded live. So at The Commercial Break on Instagram, tcbpodcast.com, we're going to put together an Endless Day sticker. If we make it through the Endless Day, we'll put together an Endless Day sticker, and you can get yours by going to the Contact Us button, drop-down menu, I want my free sticker. Make sure you mention the Endless Day sticker, and Astrid will send it off in the next couple of weeks. Thank you very much. Don't get froggy with Astrid. Please don't do that.
Froggy.
YouTube.com/TheCommercialBreak. All the guest episodes are out today. They will roll out as they roll out here. And the other episodes will come over the week because we need time to edit those. That's not easy to do. While we're at it, thanks to our video production team at Weplash Weplash. W-E-P-L-A-S-H. Weplash. They're great. Kevin, Marco, Jihad, all the crew over there. I was just saying my thank yous. And thank you to you for listening to 790,000 episodes of this. Thank you so much. And more to come. At the top of the hour, another episode. I think coming up next is Michael Ian Black. Listen to that episode. It's great. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do this hour.
I think so.
But I will tell you that I love
you.
And
I love you.
I'll say best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until the top of the hour, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.